Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with Beginner Runner Village podcast number 13, Running Cadence. I told you a while back that I had some secrets I would explain which would actually make becoming a runner much easier. And this is one of them. In fact, it's huge. Maybe it's the biggest secret of all. When I say cadence, I'm referring to the speed of your leg turnover. It's also known as stride rate. Now, I don't usually talk about speed on this podcast because I don't want you to worry about the speed of your running at all. I've always said, and your primary emphasis should be at this point, not to go fast. It should not be how far you can run or how fast you can run, but how correctly you can run. And no matter your starting fitness level, you can work on this. In fact, this is the very best time to work on it. The focus should be on learning to run correctly, on using the right form, form that's efficient, meaning that it requires less energy, and being easier on your body. Remember, when I said in an earlier podcast that your leg movement when running should be like pedaling a bike, instead of thinking about your movement as linear, reaching forward with alternate legs, the secret is to think of your legs as moving in a circular pattern. One benefit of this is that it results in your feet being on the ground for a shorter period of time. If you think of your steps as linear, your feet will be on the ground for longer, and you'll be more likely to overstride, meaning your foot lands on the ground in front of your center of gravity. Spinning your legs when you run, similar to spinning when you bike, will require less energy and have your body moving in the most comfortable, least stressful pattern, and it will make you lighter on your feet. And this is easy to work on. It is, in fact, easiest to work on when you are first learning, when you're only running for short distances, when you can concentrate on form. With my local beginner runners, I emphasize correct cadence from the very first running workout. Most people would think that the only time runners speed up their leg turnover is when they want to go faster. But that's why this is a secret, because that's actually not the case. You should get in the habit of running with exactly the same leg turnover all the time. Yes, that's exactly what you heard. Your leg turnover, your cadence, should always be the same, no matter your speed. Very few experienced runners actually know this, but the ones that do tend to have superior form. Right now, you can't run fast, and you shouldn't even try. You also can't run far, and you shouldn't even try, but you can have pretty good form. Your form will continually improve, of course. As you become more comfortable running, you'll look more relaxed, and you'll be more fluid. But you will reach that point much sooner if you work on cadence from the very beginning. In fact, a few months from now, that will likely be the main difference between you and other newer runners. Let's get into specifics. You will probably be surprised to learn that optimal cadence for runners of all levels is considered to be... I think I'll pause here for a moment. Think about it. I want you to guess how many steps is optimal per minute. You ready? 180. 180 foot strikes per minute is considered optimal. Now, of course, that's a little bit arbitrary. It could be 175 or it could be 190. But in that range, usually you'll hear people say 180. Or if you only count every other foot strike, then it's 90. I'm going to warn you, though, that 180 foot strikes when you first attempt it, will seem impossible. In fact, it will seem completely undoable. But believe me, I can get any runner to do that. The trick is to focus on the 180 and ignore the size of the step. Then, as you become more fit and more comfortable running, your strides will get longer, to a point. And as that happens, you'll get faster. But the cadence is the most basic goal. Obviously, I'm not telling you to work on cadence because I want you to get faster. I just mentioned that because it happens to be the case. Your goal should be to get the high cadence to where it's second nature, where it's automatic. You will feel like you're taking itty-bitty steps to achieve a cadence of 180. That's fine. It's expected. That's exactly how you'll manage to do it, with itty-bitty steps. Even in the very beginning, you'll be able to do this. We have to get the cadence right before anything else. However, I do have this one caveat. It really, really helps for you to do this with me. I've had runners tell me they can't do it, period. Impossible. I say, sure you can. Run right alongside me, and we'll do it together. Make your steps match my steps, and I turn on my metronome to have it beep at 180 beats per minute. That always works. The problem is always that they were trying to take steps that were too big. Just so you have a better understanding of the effect, I'll tell you how this usually plays out with the people newer to running. Many times, I work with runners who've been running a year or less and struggling to get better. The first thing we do is work on cadence. Usually, when I start to work with them, they're running 12 to 13 or 14 minute per mile pace, and they're really working to do that, really laboring. I see this, and I don't like it. I want everyone's running to be comfortable and pleasant. If it's not, something needs to change. When I check their cadence, it's usually 130 to 140. Once I get them running at 180 or close to it, they're relieved, realizing that it's actually easier, more comfortable. Almost universally, at about this time in our training, they speak the same four words that I've heard so many times. I can't believe it. I love hearing those words almost as much as I love seeing the changed expression on their faces, because the higher cadence and smaller steps is easier and less intense. Then I give them the happy news. This running is faster. It never fails. Checking my GPS watch, I can tell them our per mile pace. It's usually at least 30 seconds faster than their pace when they were laboring so hard. This is indeed a big secret. Now, I don't want you to worry about running fast. I just mentioned this because the point is that running at exactly the same level of comfort, or actually at a much more comfortable level, it turns out they're actually running faster. So it's just kind of a side benefit. I want you running at the level that's very, very, very comfortable. Then I demonstrate how I can increase the length of my stride from there, maintaining the 180 foot strikes, and go from, say, a 12 minute per mile pace all the way down to, say, an 8.5 minute per mile pace or faster. When I go faster than an 830 or 815 pace, my foot strikes actually increase up to about 190. I'm just mentioning that. But since it's very hard to get this without me standing right beside you, I suggest you start out aiming for about 170, and then once that's comfortable, move it up gradually until you get to 180. Or another option is to start from what you've been doing and try to increase your cadence every time you run. A few years ago, I was at a running clinic put on by Andrew Leatherby, a world-class Australian runner. He said that the longer he coaches running, the more emphasis he places on running cadence, because he has come to realize how integral it is to any runner's success, runners of all levels. A runner at the clinic asked, So Andrew, if we're supposed to use 180 cadence when we're running fast, then what should our cadence be when we're running at a slow conversational pace or when we're warming up? Andrew said, it should be exactly the same, 180. He went on to explain that he had warmed up right next to the Kenyans, and they warm up at exactly that pace, even though when they're doing it, they look like they're just shuffling. He said that's what they all do, and he works to do the same thing. That's the key. Get in the habit of always using a 180 cadence so that it's automatic, so you never have to think about it. Then, when you want to go faster a few months from now, you just take slightly bigger steps while maintaining that cadence. It's magical. Now, like I said, I don't want new runners to think about speed at all, but I do want you to learn to run with optimal form, and cadence is a critical element of that. In addition, I want you to understand the role of cadence in the big picture, and that's why I explained all this. The best way to work on cadence is to buy a metronome. I guess I need to pause here and explain what I mean by a metronome. You may be familiar with the metronomes musicians use to help them learn timing. I've seen many metronomes on top of pianos in my life. It's usually a wooden triangular device with a metal arm that ticks back and forth at the set rhythm. Well, runners use a different kind of metronome. It is becoming a standard piece of equipment for many runners, in fact, especially new runners. I own several, and when I'm coaching, I try to include cadence practice using a metronome at least once per week. Most of my runners have found that practice so valuable that they've purchased metronomes of their own. These are nothing like the ones you might see resting atop a piano. A running metronome is about a 1-inch square, and it has a clip on it to attach it to your clothing. You set it to whatever number of foot strikes you want, and then it beeps every time your foot strikes the ground. Or it beeps, and then you try to get your foot to strike the ground in time with it. I actually recorded 2 podcasts about cadence and a whole podcast episode about metronomes in my Mojo for Running podcast series. If you'd like to listen to them, the 2 about cadence are 27 and 28, and the one about metronomes is number 32. In that episode, I actually recorded the sound of the metronome at different beats, so you could actually listen to that to help you get the idea until you can purchase one. Be warned, though, that the Mojo for Running podcast is for more advanced runners, and I do talk about how increased cadence makes you faster. That is not why you should work on it, though. More on that in a moment. But first, let me finish up about metronomes. The metronomes episode is actually a recording of my metronome at various settings for a duration of 5 minutes each. I think I started at maybe 160 and then did 165 and 170 and 175 and 180. The idea was to give listeners the opportunity to use that while they run until they could purchase their own. Another option is to download a metronome app for your smartphone. But I'll tell you that I didn't have much luck with the one that I downloaded. It just didn't work well. However, by now there may be a better app available because that was a few years ago. The way you use the metronome is to set it at 170 or 180 and concentrate on making your foot hit the ground with every beat. Or alternatively, set it at 85 or 90 and make every other step sync with the beep. In other words, if you're doing it that way, the beep should be every time your right foot or left foot hits the ground. The metronome will help you get in the habit of taking very small steps to achieve that cadence. You may feel like you're shuffling. That's fine. Then you're doing it right. We'll stretch out your strides a bit later. In fact, that will come naturally as you become more fit. But I don't want you to get in the habit of a slower cadence and bigger steps. That would be much harder to change later. Experienced runners have a hard time increasing their cadence. So let's get you started on the right foot. Pun intended. Think of it this way. If you learn to play a musical instrument, first you have to learn to play the various notes. Then you have to learn the timing. Then you put them together to make a song. Neither the right notes at the wrong time nor the wrong notes at the right time will create what we would call music. It would just be noise. But the right notes played for the right length of time at the right time can yield beautiful music. Well, running is kind of like that. I worked with a runner once who had been running 5K races for a year, and he always wore braces on his knees because running always caused him knee pain. After a couple of sessions with me, he tossed the braces and never needed them again. It is nearly impossible to overstride and heel strike while maintaining a 180 cadence. At that cadence, he was landing with a bent knee, which meant that his knee joint could act as a shock absorber, as it should. It eliminated bone-on-bone pounding that had caused his pain. You get bone-on-bone pounding when you strike with your heel, which is what usually happens when you're overstriding. If you want to get a metronome, here are some options for you. You could go to Amazon.com. They have them. Search metronome running. You'll find some for under $10. Don't buy them. I bought several of those. I think I paid like $6 for them, and they all broke within a month, and they didn't even work well to start with. I recommend the more expensive Seiko model. It's about $25 to $35. I had 3 of those. They clip on, so you can clip them onto your clothes, and they really do help and work well. Here's your homework. Do this right now if possible. Set your stopwatch on your smartphone to time you, and then run in place for 30 seconds while counting your steps. See how close you are to 90. 90 instead of 180 because you're only doing it for half a minute. Then, starting today, practice a couple of times a day, each time striving to increase your cadence. Do this while running in place. Then you just start moving forward with each step with tiny steps and you'll have it. You'll be running forward at 180 cadence. Now, if you think you'd like the help of a coach and a detailed schedule explaining exactly what to do every day of the week, including stretching, warming up, cross-training, strength training, and of course, running, please consider registering for my Mojo for Running coaching program, which is on my mojoforrunning.com website. You'll find a sequence of four 12-week programs. The first is the Walk to Run Beginner program, and that is for people who are not running at all yet. The second is the First 5K program, which is for people who can already run a half mile. It takes you through your first 5K. The third 12-week program is the First 10K program, and then, of course, that's followed by the First Half Marathon program. That means you could go through all four 3-month programs and go from no running to a half marathon in just a year. Don't get me wrong, you never have to do a half marathon, but if you want to, you can. And I know from experience that most people who complete even one 5K decide they eventually want to do a half marathon. So you start with me and you can stay with me all the way through the whole year. I tell you about all four programs because I want you to know that I've got you covered. If you find this podcast helpful, I would very much appreciate it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating for this podcast. That is extremely helpful to me. Another thing you could do, look for the coffee cup on the homepage of the Mojo for Running website. That's a place where you can click and you can make a small donation. I use a coffee cup because you could buy me a cup of coffee or two or three, and that would help to support this podcast. Now for today's quote. It's half as far from here to success as from here to success and back. It's half the fare, the wear and the tear to go forward and never go back. I share this to honor my dad who passed away a few months back. He came up with this thought years ago, and when I was a teacher, I had it made into a big poster and I had it hanging on the wall of my classroom. This quote reminds me of how many lives he changed during his long career. He's probably the most inspirational person I have ever known or will ever know.